Welcome to From the Top, where outstanding young musicians come to play. You just heard 17-year-old violinist Anthony Dorsey perform Summerland from the Three Visions Suite by William Grant Still. I'm your host, pianist Peter Dugan, and that was me joining Anthony at the piano. We're coming to you today from Cincinnati, Ohio, a great place for young musicians, home to so many wonderful music institutions, including the Cincinnati Symphony Youth Orchestra, the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, and the Chamber Music Connection in Columbus. Cincinnati is putting on a great show for us today. Now let's meet our first musician, 17-year-old Anthony Dorsey, who opened our program a moment ago. He's a Jack Kent Cook young artist, and he's here with me right now. Hey, Anthony, welcome to the program.
This is amazing. Thank you.
What a beautiful performance of Summerland. I loved playing it with you. You bring such a beautiful tone to every note you play. It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
It's a picture of paradise. Yeah. This show is featuring all young musicians from Ohio, and yet you, our first performer, are not a native Ohioan. Where were you from originally?
I was born in Tampa, Florida.
And when did you come to Ohio?
2015, 9 years old.
What was that transition like, and when did Cincinnati really start to feel like home to you?
The first year here, it was very cold, and it was hard to fit in and find music. It was year 2, 3 where I found the Starling family, and I actually had a master class with Professor Sossman's house. And so after he invited me to his program, I kind of felt like home.
So you're talking about Kurt Sossmanhaus, one of the great violin pedagogues in the area.
Yeah.
It's amazing that music and a mentor or a teacher like that really can provide that stability to make you feel like you belong. And that's great that you had that. You also threw yourself into choir, from what I heard. And tell me a little bit about all that.
Yeah. So I've been doing choir even back in Florida. So probably more than 5, 6 years. I joined a choir in the church I'm a part of all through junior high. And then in high school, I joined the varsity choir.
I love that. Varsity choir. We need to mix the varsity and match choir. The sports terms. Yeah, that's great.
We do a lot of concerts, and we collaborate with a lot of great schools and programs.
So who do you live with at home?
I live with my mom and dad, and then my younger brother, Aaron.
Right, and you also have an older brother. He's an alum of From the Top, Daniel Dorsey.
Yeah.
Anthony, you seem so at ease. Have your nerves ever gotten the better of you?
Yeah, so when I was 7, I was playing at one of my brother's graduations. I just started music like 2 years before. I was supposed to play something really easy, like Humoresque, but once they introduced me, I couldn't go up. Fear like really overcame me.
Yeah.
It felt really horrible that I like let my brother down, but my parents were comforting me and telling me it was fine. One of my other brother's graduations, like a year later, I redeemed myself and played the same thing. And
nice.
I just overcame myself and I was like, this is amazing. I
there
love playing in front of people.
Well, you showed up here. You nailed it at From the Top. It was just a beautiful performance.
Yeah, thank you.
I have to congratulate you. You are one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artists.
Thank you.
We are just so honored to be able to help support you and proud of you and excited for what the future holds. Good luck on your senior year.
Thank you.
Anthony Dorsey, 17 years old from Cincinnati, Ohio. And our next young musician is 14-year-old guitarist Beckett Cerrone from Cincinnati. Beckett, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're going to perform a piece that is very special. Tell me a little bit about it.
So this piece, Destino Askino, was written for me by Carlos Bedoya.
This piece was written for you specifically. I mean, the sheet music says your name on it.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. I'm very thankful for him.
Well, whenever you're ready, Beckett, you can take this piece from the top.
All right. Thank you.
Beckett Cerón, 14 years old, performed De Esquina a Esquina by Carlos Bedoya. Beckett is from Cincinnati, Ohio, where we are right now. Man, you played that piece so beautifully. It's like it was written for you. Oh, wait, it was.
Thank you.
You really transported me to Colombia with that. And what a great opportunity from the Guitar Foundation of America.
Yeah, I got into the GFA mentorship program. And so I was given a mentor, Carlos Bedoya, and he's Colombian. I love Colombian music. He's a fantastic guy. He talks about how this piece, it's inspired from his childhood, how like around Christmas time, he would go down the neighborhood from corner to corner, which is what it means in English, de esquina a esquina. And you'd hear music, there'd be parties, dancing, and he'd meet all of his friends. That's what inspired him to write the piece.
Talk to me a little bit about your connection to your culture.
My dad's side of the family is Colombian. And whenever I'd go to their house back in Massachusetts, they'd always have Colombian music playing, always Colombian food. We'd always see all of our cousins, like huge family.
That's great. And so cool that now you have that connection through your own music making.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're a big fan of South American music in general. The piece you just played is this sort of cumbia style. This is music that's maybe not even what we think of as traditional concert hall music, but it's more like social music or festive music.
Yeah, I like that music a lot because it's kind of like you have people dancing and you're in the background. You're not the main thing, but you're still playing and you're still very important. And oftentimes I'll go and perform around in Ohio. Like I'll go to the Nature Center and just play. People walk by and they'll stop and listen, but it's not a huge thing. I love playing like that.
You were exposed to this kind of playing outside of the concert hall even from a young age, right?
Yeah, I started guitar when I was 5, and there was a huge Suzuki studio, probably like 20 or 30 guitarists under this one teacher, Davis Lockey. It was so fun. Everyone like learned the same sort of pieces because they're all the Suzuki books, so everyone could play together. And so he'd have all these kids go to different places like coffee shops. We went to One World Trade. We played in Carnegie Hall with Andrew York.
That's so great. You're someone for whom music is all about sharing in the community. Frankly, I think we need more of that.
Yeah, I'm so grateful for him because he like opened it up for me. I think what's special about classical guitar is you can play a song so many different ways. There's so much musicality. You can play and it'll be different from the next person playing it. And so you can just be yourself.
You certainly did that today, Beckett. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. You know, I hope you just keep getting out there and performing for everyone you can.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. Beckett Cerón is 14 years old from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. From BritBox with Archie, based on the true story of Hollywood icon Cary Grant, a new original drama starring Jason Isaacs. Archie, now streaming at BritBox.com/NPR. From the Wallace Foundation, working to develop and share practices that can improve learning and enrichment for young people and the vitality of the arts for everyone. Ideas and information at wallacefoundation.org. And from listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
After that exciting virtual trip to Medellin, Colombia with Beckett Cerón, we're now back in Cincinnati with our next young musician, 12-year-old cellist Sonia Mumaw, who will be gracing us with Requiebros for cello and piano by Gaspar Casado. I'm Peter Dugan, and I'm going to try to keep up with her at the piano. Sonia, are you ready to do this?
Yes.
Can't wait. Whenever you're ready, let's take it from the...
From the top!
Yeah! Thank you. 12-year-old Sonia Mumal on the cello. With me, Peter Dugan, at the piano, we performed Requiebros for cello and piano by Gaspar Casado. Sonia is from Cincinnati, Ohio, where we are right now. I'm just still smiling from that performance with you. You bring so much joy and so much energy to that piece. It was great.
Thank you.
You're a musician's musician because you have studied many different styles, as we're going to hear later. I was so fascinated reading about how you approach practicing. Fill me in on what your routine is.
Just starting from the beginning of the practice session, I do my like scales and exercises differently. I like do all the modes to like cover the jazz part of it. And I do different arpeggio and broken third drills to help with my improvising.
When you say you do all the modes, I mean, there are a lot of modes to go through, and there's 12 keys, 12 major, 12 minor. So how much of that do you actually get to in a given day?
I spend like 20 minutes, so I'll get like halfway through my modes every day-ish.
With one key?
With one key. So I'll do all the modes in one key, and then do like my blues scales and my pentatonic scales and my diminished scales and chromatic, and then I'll go on to the next key when I finish that key, and it'll take, I think I'm on like F sharp, and I started maybe a month or two ago, maybe.
Wow. So I just want our listeners to kind of conceptualize this, where we think of someone practicing scales and da 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 da, right? And then, you know, 10 minutes later, you're like, okay, I did them all. What you're describing, and this is why I wanted to talk to you about it, it's a really sophisticated approach, and you're 12. So I'm just a little bit humbled. You're making a whole study out of every single key. Talk about, first of all, the motivation of why or how you ended up doing this, because I've never spoken to a young classical musician who is this kind of approach to scales, and then what you get out of that or how it improves your musicianship.
Well, I wasn't the one who came up with this process. My dad came up with this, and like before the modes, I'll do bowing exercises and other things. It helps me with my music. it helps me, like, first it gets the sounds, like, in my ear, so it's easier to improvise. And then, like, while I'm improvising, I can say, oh, yeah, this is just, like, the Lydian of this key, and these are the notes I'm supposed to play, and this is the chord I associate it with. Like, it kind of helps me bridge all of that together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll also do it in, like, broken thirds, fourths, fifths, sixths, like, et cetera, up to octaves, and that also helps. I can play broken thirds in my improvising easily because of that.
Right, right. You mentioned that your dad helped come up with this program of theoretical exercise. Is he a professional musician?
He is not a professional musician.
So where did he come up with that?
Well, my dad's parents are both classical musicians, so he grew up with that.
Got it.
He listens to like a lot of different kinds of music,
mm-hmm.
and he works at home. So he'll sit down and record himself with these ideas or just like write them down somewhere. And then eventually we'll like revisit them and then we'll morph them into something that actually works.
I think it's making you such a well-rounded musician.
Thank you.
It seems like you kind of enjoy practicing every day.
Yeah.
Is it ever a grind?
Yes.
How do you push through those moments?
The weeks I don't get enough practice in, I'll like go back to something and it was like really good the day before, but then like my fingers like just don't remember how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about like how much I lose if I don't practice this one day. And really just like sitting down and doing a little bit is like so beneficial.
Yeah.
And then mostly it's just like, I'm tired and I don't want to do this, but I mean, I kind of have to.
Yeah. You show up and you put the work in.
Yeah.
Is it worth it? The reward?
Totally.
Yeah. I thought so. So genre, obviously you're a fantastic classical player. What other genres do you feel comfortable in as a performer?
I also like playing bluegrass and jazz a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Bluegrass is like the main style that both my parents like.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of got introduced to that. And eventually I was like, well, I want to play this too, because it sounds really cool and it's like really fun.
Right.
And so I started at 5, 6, I started playing bluegrass.
Now bluegrass cello is not unheard of, but it's kind of rare.
Yeah.
Have you had like a mentor that's led you through the study of it? Or
two people that really support me are Missy Warner and Artie. Artie's a bass player and Missy is a mandolin player.
Mm-hmm.
They play in the Missy Warner band and they've really like helped me grow. I play gigs with them a lot and I go to like a weekly Monday jam with them. I started with just my dad like helping me through like the basics of like chopping and improvising.
How would you describe your relationship to the cello?
I've never really thought about it, actually. It's just like a thing that I do, and I've done it for a long time, and it's like a thing I enjoy. A lot of my life like kind of revolves around like how much I've practiced that day and like what's happening in my music.
Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like it's part of who you are. What would you say is your biggest dream for yourself?
Definitely to get recognized by big cellists like Sterling Elliott.
Oh.
And Santiago Cannon Valencia is like one of my favorite cellists. He's so good. Like to get recognized by those people.
Oh, that's going to happen. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
And then like a personal goal is to like live with my brother on the beach or something. And like a little place where we can just like be together. Because we're like really, really close.
How old is your brother?
He is 8 years old, I think.
Oh. Sonia, thank you again for being with us. You rock.
Thank you for having me on the show.
12-year-old Sonia Mumaw from Cincinnati, Ohio. You're listening to From the Top, and I'm pianist Peter Dugan. Did you know that From the Top posts short, beautiful videos of our young musicians every day? The series is called Daily Joy. Treat yourself to youthful inspiration daily. Sign up at fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from BritBox with Archie, the man who became Cary Grant. A new original drama following the rise of a Hollywood icon. Archie, now streaming at BritBox.com/NPR. From the Pew Charitable Trusts, sharing how people and communities can come together in polarizing times on the After the Fact podcast, available at PewTrusts.org/AfterTheFact. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at MacFound.org.
Thank you.
Welcome back to From the Top, where outstanding young musicians come to play. I'm your host, pianist Peter Dugan, and it is so great to be with all of you thanks to the generosity of Susan and Gerald Slavitt. We're here today in Cincinnati, Ohio, the home of the Reds and the Bengals and the Purple People Bridge, a pedestrian-only bridge that stretches across the Ohio River, which is very cool. Our next young performer is 17-year-old pianist Benny Buntaganon from Hilliard, Ohio. He's one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Benny, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. What are you going to be performing for us?
I'm going to be playing the second movement of Metner's Sonata Skazka, Opus 25, number 1.
Nikolai Metner, not really a household name, although his reputation is sort of on the rise now, as it should be. Can't wait to hear it. Why don't you take it from the top?
Thank you.
You heard 17-year-old pianist Benny Buntaganon perform the second movement of Nikolai Metner's Sonata Tale, or Sonata Fairy Tale, which of course would normally transition Ataka into the finale. Benny, you left us wanting more there. It was just gorgeous what you did with that.
Thank you.
Nikolai Metner, a contemporary of Rachmaninoff, I hear so much of what we know as the Rachmaninoff sound in that, but it's also, you know, it's different too. What do you love about playing that music?
I love how it slowly transforms into this really deep kind of extravagant section with a lot of huge chords.
Mm-hmm.
And then the transitions to going back to the main theme, they showcased a lot of flair in his music.
Yeah. And what about the challenges in this piece?
I think picking like a kind of pulse or starting tempo, mm-hmm. I think was pretty hard because I think you could take it a lot of different ways. I think of it like a barcarolle or like a boat song. It's like gently, you know, kind of swaying on a boat. But that's like the start. And then later it gets way more, I don't know, the waves are crashing the boat, overturning it, I guess.
Right. It's stormy seas. From your perspective now, what is that pursuit of being good at the piano?
It's like an iceberg. So at the start, you just think of like piano skills. So like technique and being able to play difficult pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess it becomes more about the music. So really loving it. Loving it is the first part, because if you don't love it, you know, there's not much of a point of what you're doing. And then trying to explore every like corner of the music.
I know how passionate you are about music, but you're also passionate about robotics, from what I understand.
Yes.
Tell me how you got into it.
It was just a thing I joined after the end of COVID. Our team is called the Metrobots. It's a club and team, and we participate in competitions. A huge part of it is like STEM outreach to bring STEM to our communities. Our team specifically hosts a lot of summer camps. We've made STEM kits. They're really easy to mail to people. So you can bring STEM to like a lot of communities that don't have access to that normally.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing you're doing. What are some of your favorite aspects of working with robots?
There is a lot of problem solving. I love the teamwork aspect of it. We all get to work together to solve this challenge.
So it really balances out all that alone time in the practice room with the piano.
Yeah, definitely.
Makes so much sense. I was curious if there's something about the problem solving nature of science that relates to the way you look at music. Do you feel like that side of your brain gets engaged in your musical practice?
I guess I look at physical, like mechanical aspects of my playing. For example, some pianists draw back their like left leg.
Yes, I do that sometimes.
Play like that all the time. I want to see like what relation that has to how you play.
I love this conversation. I could talk with you all day about trying to make sense of the physics of our bodies and how that influences the sound that comes out of our instrument. I believe you are one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Benny. That's great. Thanks again for your musical performance. It's been great to get to know you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Benny Buntaganon, 17 years old from Hilliard, Ohio. Let's meet our next young musician, Christy Kim, 17-year-old violinist from Mason, Ohio. Christy, welcome to From the Top.
Glad to be here.
I'm really excited about the piece we're about to play. It's never been on From the Top before. What is this?
So we will be playing a piece called Jindo Arirang by Teddy Niedermeyer, based on a very popular Korean folk song.
So I understand that you actually had a chance to speak to the composer, who, by the way, is a From the Top alum. What kinds of things did you talk about?
So he told me a lot about the inspiration behind the piece, which mainly came from a movie called Seopyeonje, which is about a pansori singer.
And what is a pansori singer?
So pansori is a very traditional type of Korean singing. The pansori singer travels with his adopted son and daughter. A very iconic scene in it depicts the trio on this very long, empty road. They start off very far in the distance, and that's when the song Jindo Arirang is sung, and it starts out very slow and very rhapsodic. As they come closer, the song also begins to pick up pace rapidly, and by the end, it turns from this slow, mellow song into this very fierce and bright cheer.
It's such a great narrative. It's such a great arc for a piece. Whenever you're ready, Christy, let's take it from the top.
Let's do it.